Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our story this morning, Luke's gospel starts us off with, now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he, meaning Jesus, entered a certain village. So, right off the bat, this first verse of our story today begs two questions. First, where were they going? It says, while they were on their way, where were they going? Well, the answer to that question goes back in chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, where we're told that Jesus intently set his face toward Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, on his way to die for the sins of mankind. Second, the second question that this raises is the 38th verse says that he entered a certain village. What village is this? Well, Luke's gospel doesn't tell us, but John's gospel does. In the 11th chapter, John tells us the name of the village that Jesus entered in. It was the village of Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem. So that makes sense. As he set his face toward Jerusalem, he passed through the village of Bethany. And of course, John's gospel tells us that in Bethany, there is Martha and Mary, who has a brother known as Lazarus. And we all know what Jesus did with and for Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So Martha and Mary and Lazarus, according to John's gospel, were good friends of Jesus. Now, Jesus is popular in this region by now. He's known as the miracle worker. He has done great things, the faith healer. He is so popular that many people in that region would have been proud to have had him in their homes. But we're told by Luke's gospel that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and then she went straight into the kitchen to probably take care of dinner. Now, it was probably not just a dinner for Jesus or for her sister Mary or for herself or for Lazarus, but probably with Jesus and his entourage, at least 12 disciples. So that's quite a significant amount of meal to prepare. And it wasn't like Jesus called ahead and said, guess what, Martha, we're coming. It's just, surprise, we're all here. And Martha did what Martha does best. Started working, preparing, fixing dinner. It was the hospitable thing to do for a guest. Now, Martha had a sister named Mary. Mary, on the other hand, did not go into the kitchen, did not bother to do anything in that sort of hospitableness. Instead, she chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he was saying. Martha chose to stay with Jesus and possibly with whoever he came with. Now, that seems okay to me. I don't know about you, but that seems a form of hospitableness. That's a form of hospitality. After all, you can't just abandon your guest in the living room and then you go and take care of some stuff elsewhere. Someone's got to sit and visit and chat and entertain the guest, and Mary did just that. Otherwise, it would have been rude to just have left Jesus and the other guests all by themselves in the living room. But that was not okay with Martha. Luke says that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. This is something that I'm very familiar with in my own household. And my wife will attest to you that whenever we have guests in our home, she is the Martha. And she often misses on the conversation, and it saddens me. She often misses on the great camaraderie, the visit that is there, because she's busy providing hospitality, providing nourishment, providing whatever makes the guest at home. Well, Martha did the same. She was distracted by all the things that she needed to take care of, to exude and to express good hospitality. Now, if you are a Martha type person, you know how Martha feels. And you know how it feels to be over your head, distracted with so many things to do, with so many tasks to be accomplished. I've been there. I know what it feels like. You see, I'm a lot like Martha at times. In certain things, I am a doer. I like to work, and I usually find myself pitching in and going to task, doing my part. Sometimes I end up working while others around me are just chatting and visiting. Maybe, like me, you know how Martha felt. So Martha, angry at being abandoned in the kitchen, angry at seeing her sister doing nothing other than sit there like a bump on a log, listening to Jesus, Martha, with anger, came to Jesus and said, "Lord." Now, don't miss the importance of that little word. The first word that came out of Martha's mouth acknowledges who Jesus was, who Jesus is, her Lord. And so for Martha, that's good on her, that fact that Jesus was Lord was not missed on her. But then she began to rebuke Jesus. First she asked if Jesus doesn't care that Mary isn't helping. And then she had the audacity to tell Jesus to do something. She had the audacity to order Jesus, "Tell my lazy sister to get off her rear end and get in the kitchen to give me a hand." That's not exactly how Martha said it, but, you know, probably close to that. Now, of course, that kind of outburst, that kind of reaction has a tendency to make everyone uncomfortable. It's what our daughters would say, awkward. One of those moments where you wish you could just kind of either fast forward or just avoid altogether. You see, if you are Mary, you wonder why Martha didn't just ask you to help her. You wonder why Martha just didn't say, "Mary, I could use some help in the kitchen." I'm sure Mary would have helped her. And if you're the guest, like Jesus and all the others who may have came with him, it sure was awkward. It was embarrassing to have your hostess blow up at you like that. But you know, I'm sympathetic to Martha. Yeah. I sometimes get angry when I feel that I'm doing all the work. I have surely said a few angry words in my life. because I understand what it's like to being, to feel like there's nobody else doing the work. I have to do it all by myself. Now, this is true in our households. This is certainly true when I was growing up. Everyone had their assigned chores, but nobody seemed to care as much as I do in getting everything done. This is also true in the Church of Jesus Christ, here at our Savior's. There are many Marthas here at our Savior's. A great deal, and I am thankful for each and every one who are Marthas. They know how to roll up their sleeves, put on their aprons, and get to work in making sure that things get done and done right. But sometimes those Marthas end up being like this Martha in the Gospel of Luke. Angry, upset at the Marys that we have in the congregation. And we also are blessed with Marys here. People who rather come and learn and listen and worship. People who rather come and just be at the feet of Jesus, gleaning wisdom. So all the Marthas in our congregation look at them and say, my gosh, why don't they help? Why don't they come and do X, Y, and Z? Why am I having to do everything by myself? Now, I've said this to some of you, that in the close to 30 years of ministry that I've had, there's one phenomena that happens in every church. Maybe this is just a Lutheran church thing. I don't know. But there is this aspect of our church members who are very conscious about not wanting to step on somebody else's toes when it comes to doing something. And so they say, well, you know, I would help with that, but I don't want to step on any toes, so I won't. Well, you don't know if the person who's doing it has probably have had it and just waiting for someone, have been praying for someone to come along and say, can I give you a hand with that? Instead, we say, oh, no, it's being done. I'm good. I don't need to muddy the water. Well, Martha and all the Marthas we have in a congregation at times exhibit this anger toward all the Marys in the congregation. Now, having been there and done that, being angry at the amount of work that needs to be done in the sense that there's nobody else that cares to accomplishing and doing them, I want you to listen carefully to how or what can help as to what to do next time you get angry at the Marys in your life. Here's what Martha, in this story, could have done. Instead of stomping into the living room and chewing Jesus out and Mary, Martha could have gone into a separate room, maybe her bedroom, and got down on her knees and began to pray. Pray something like, God, I am so angry. By the way, God could handle that. God could handle you complaining to him. Tell him exactly how you feel. God, I'm so angry. I'm so mad I could spit bullets. God understands that. Sometimes it is tempting, Lord, for me to go out there and spew my anger all over the Marys of this world. I know that wouldn't be right. So God, please drain this anger out of my heart. Help me to feel love for Jesus, who's the guest in my house, and love for Mary, who's my beloved sister. And then help me to ask Mary in a nice way to come and help me. That's how, what the prayer that Martha should have prayed in the privacy of her room before going out into the living room and just bursting out her anger toward Jesus and Mary. Then after the amen, Mary should have stayed a couple more minutes to really allow God to do what she asked, for God to drain her anger out of her. And then she could have gone out into the living room and asked Mary nicely for help. That would have been so much better than what is reported in our gospel reading today. So the next time you are angry and want to say angry words and do angry things, try that. Try going to a private place for a few minutes. It may even be for a few days if necessary. Just shut the world, the noise of the world off, and begin asking God to help you. See, if you ask God to help you with your anger, God will help. God will come. And perhaps that is one of the biggest issues that confronts our state and our country over with all these senseless killings. It's too many angers. Too many people who are not taking the time to process their feelings, their angers, and simply bursting out and letting whatever happens in the other in other people's lives. If you ask God to help with your anger, with your issues, God will help. Give it a try. Now, I've preached a number of sermons over my close to 30 years of ministry on this scripture, but I always struggle with it. Because I am more like Martha than Mary in this story. I'm the kind of person who want to appreciate Martha and the Marthas of the world. I want Jesus to commend Martha for her work, for her diligence, for the great work and faithful work that she has done. I want Jesus to say, "Atta girl, Martha, keep it up. You're doing a great job in making sure things happen, things are done." I want Jesus to command and praise Martha. I want Jesus to even go to Mary and say, "Hey, Mary, you know, how about you and I both go and help Martha in the kitchen?" That would be great. But that is not what happened. Instead, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the best part, which will not be taken from her." The Martha in me cannot take that. It's as if what I have been doing, all the serving, all the good works of hospitality, is all for naught. Well, friends, I'm telling you, that is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not condemning Martha for the good works and faithful works that she has done, that she is doing. He is, however, condemning the distraction, the sin that the distraction has in her life, the skewing, the misunderstanding what is happening here. And that is missing the words, the teaching of her Lord. You see, we live, we are such busy people. We live in such a busy world. It's easy to miss the important things in life. The story of Martha and Mary tells us that there is value in sitting, in listening. There's value in learning, in loving. Like Martha, we think the important things is the doing, is the getting things accomplished and getting things finished. And yes, there are places for that in our society, in our world. But Jesus teaches us there are times where there is even greater value in sitting, in listening, in learning, and in loving others. Whether at home or at work or at school or at the grocery stores, take a moment to look around and find the blessings in listening, in learning, in sitting, and in loving. Take a moment to thank God for giving you another day to perhaps take the time to listen. Take the time to sit. Take the time to take it all in. Take a moment to give God thanks. To thank God for those opportunities. Sit at Jesus' feet for just a moment or two. Take the time and open a Bible. Read, listen. And yes, when the Spirit prompts you, act. See, we live in a Martha world, but we're to take time to be Mary just for a bit. See, Jesus says that's just one thing that's needed. One thing that's needed. And it's the word. It's the voice of Jesus in all the noise of the cacophony that we hear. One thing we need is the ability to sit and to listen, to take it all in and learn and to apply. It's the good part. That's the good part that won't be taken from us. The word of God. It is my prayer for all the Marthas in the world, for all the Marthas here at our Savior's, it is my prayer that we do not miss or get distracted by our anger, by our emotional struggles of either needing help or wanting to be recognized for what we do. It is my hope that all the Marthas will find the ability to ask the Lord to lead and to guide and to temper our words so that we can ask nicely for others to join us, to serve. It is the good part that won't be taken from us. The word of God, the presence of Christ. And you'll find blessing there. You'll find even more that Jesus was right. When we pause, when we sit at his feet, when we read and listen to his word, we'll find peace and blessing there. Amen.